Well, this morning, we're going to go back over in our teaching again. We're going back to talking about the wonderful subject of crucifying the flesh. It's an exciting subject. Hallelujah. But it's a hugely necessary subject because if we don't fall in line, there's a lot of things that we desire or we want to come to pass, but they're not going to come to pass unless people deal with things. Now, last week we talked about Jesus had to deal with his flesh in the garden. And I figured if Jesus had trouble with his flesh, it would probably go to say that Ed will have some trouble with his flesh. And one of the things that he told the disciples, to pray lest you fall into temptation. Now, is one of the things that, and let me just say this concerning prayer, is one of the things prayer is supposed to do for us, many times that people really don't stay over in the area in prayer long enough to hear from God. Most people are praying, trying to tell God what they want or what they need, and it's a one-sided thing. But people are usually not over on the side of prayer, of listening prayer, of going over on the side and allowing God to talk with them, is allowing them to get quiet enough that you can hear things. Because we need answers to our problems. Many times we pray about things, and in our prayers, we're giving God our opinion. In the scripture it says, God spoke to the prophet and said, come let us plead together. He was speaking to him, come let us plead together. The Bible says that we're workers together with God. We're workers together. Therefore, we're workers together, then he has an opinion and you need to hear it. Most of the time, God only ever hears our opinion and you only ever hear your opinion. That's all you ever hear. You don't ever listen to God's opinion. God has opinions on things because God, understand this, if God is all-knowing, he sees what is even into the future that you don't even see yet, where your decision may cause you problems down the road that you don't know about. Loads of Christians, I've over the years watched them, and they prayed and got what they asked for, and boy, after a while, down the road, they wish they wouldn't have got what they asked for. It wasn't as cute as they thought it was going to be. It wasn't as much fun. And we need to know that. That's why we need to hear God's side. I don't know about you, I need the wisdom of God. I need to know what God's saying about things. And you want to get over there where you're actually working together with God. You're taking the time and saying, Lord, and it's like you've heard me say this many times, I'm going to say it again and again. When I learned listening to prayer to Kenneth Hagin, he'd pray and he would stop and he'd be standing on the word and talking to God about a certain thing. But he'd say, now, Lord, if you have something that you want to do, it's different. You let me know. I'll do whatever you want to do. You'll find this out, and I found this out really early as a Christian. When I began to really take time to find out what God wanted to do about things, I had to really some startling things start to happen where God would speak to me at times and when I would talk to him about certain things and he would say these words to me, what would you like to do about that? The first time it happened to me, just outwardly just startled me. I just thought, what do I want to do about it? And he said to me, what would you like to see come out of this? And so I talked to him about it. And the Lord spoke to me again and said, okay, that'll be done. And within 2 days, it came to pass. Just like I said. See, I didn't, the first time that happened to me, that just floored me. But see, it's about workers together. Most people, they never get into a real relationship with God. We talk about always we all have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm just telling you, the majority of Christians don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's one-sided. It's about, I look at the bird, find out what the promise is, and tell him what I want. And they call that a personal relationship. That's not a personal relationship. To me, I am startled that God wouldn't talk to me. I'd be absolutely startled that God didn't talk to me. Christian, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if that happens very often. I want to tell you, it happens all the time. How could God live in me and you don't ever hear nothing and nothing ever shows? Well, I mean, I don't get it how Christianity should have come so stupid. To think that God lives in you and he's silent. My God. Thank God he ain't silent. Sometimes he has to yell loud at me. But you can't walk around and hardly believe God will want to talk to you and then at the same time he's going to speak to you. What you believe and the way you act and what you do is going to determine how he acts towards you. If you don't expect him to show up much or say much, he won't. That's just the way it is. That's the way it works. It's not rocket science, you know. Don't you find that with people? If people didn't, you did act like you didn't really want to be around somebody or have them bothering you and that stuff. It's a good chance they wouldn't be around bothering you. But you know, I'll tell you what, I'm in desperate need to know what God wants to do and what God wants to carry out. I'm in desperate need of it. Today, we need the wisdom of God. We're facing all kinds of things going on. There's things that we know about the Word. We have been taught many principles of the Word. But for most Christians, those principles, those words, we don't know how they flow together and how they work together. And how we just know we have this little faith thing over here for healing, and we have this little thing over here for that, and this little thing over here. I'm sorry. The kingdom is not made out of just one little thing over here and one little thing. All of it works together. And we don't know the flow of the kingdom. And we're going to have to learn to walk in the flow of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a river. In many ways, it's like a river. And it has a flow to it. And when you learn to get into that flow, that's when things really start to work. At times, we've had revivals in the ages past, and there's a flow of God starts, and people step into that flow, and they get into that flow of that thing of God. But every time it's happened, men get over and start their own flow, and after a while, they're out of the flow of God. The healing revivals, Kenneth Hagin said they did. There was a healing flow. And so people got over, and in that healing flow, money started coming and God started blessing in that area. They got some revelation. So what they did, they dropped the healing flow and man went over to the money flow. And it stopped the revival. It stopped it. It stopped the flow. See, this last day, I'm not going to get out of the flow. What God's doing, I want to be in the flow and I want to stay in the flow of what God's doing. I don't want to pick my favorite message. I don't want to pick what satisfies my flesh. I don't want to do that. I want to pick the flow of the Spirit of what satisfies God. What brings His... If God's perfect will can come to pass, we will be the most blessed. You know, I've had some wonderful ideas and wonderful things, and there's nothing wrong with them. They're good. But there ain't as good till you hear from heaven and what God wants to do. Until God puts His stamp of approval on it, don't put yours on it. Don't put yours on it. Hallelujah. That's good preaching. I want to go over this morning because we're going to deal with the area of worship. And I want to talk about this. It has to do with your flesh. It has to do with your flesh. And we're going to put what the Bible says about it. Turn over to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. Very familiar scripture, but I want us to look at, there's two verses. Now, in this teaching, probably, we'll just have this morning, we're going to just go into one, the first verse part of it. We'll read the two together, but we're going to focus on the first part of it because there's no point going to the second part if we don't understand the first. And so, I want us to look at this. In Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here we find we are supposed to do something. We're supposed to present our bodies to God. It says, as a living sacrifice. We're supposed to, this is what we're supposed to do, present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice. I've talked about this subject already before, but I want to make mention of this because the word sacrifice has been used over the years. It's one of the things, when we deal with terminology, our terminology, I always like the thing that I was learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I found that to be a very good thing. He said that when we go to the Word of God and we look at words that are used, we need to understand them in the context that the Bible uses them and understand what the Bible says and let the Bible define the definition. Let the Bible deal with what it's talking about. Because we have things that we have today that people use the term of sacrifice. And what they're talking about is the idea is you do something and give something to God or somebody or something outside of what you really want to do, and you're just, I'm going to do this. And you need to understand, that's not scriptural. Back in 2014, the Lord spoke to me about the ministers that use this term in giving money as sacrificial giving. and what they're doing. He said, that's wonderful. They use it for them so they get more money in their pocket. But he said, it's no benefit to the people, because we don't find in the New Testament we're told to give sacrificial giving. We're told that we're supposed to give not grudgingly. We're supposed to be cheerful givers. God's not sitting down and saying, God never said give till it hurts. God said, give till you get happy. Give till you get excited. Hallelujah. But see, people use these terms, and they've used the terms to manipulate people into doing what they wanted. It is no more than just a psychology, and they called it spirituality, but they don't have the word to back it up. Sacrifice in, if we go back and you go for the Old Testament through the New Testament, sacrifice was things that God required in worship. That's what sacrifice was. Sacrifice God required for in the temple worship. They went and the bulls and goats and calves and lambs that they did, all of that was part of their worship to God. It was what God required, that so He could dwell among men, live among men, He could bless them. It had nothing to do with it. It wasn't, well, you don't want to give it, give it. That's not what it was. God put these things down. Why? Because so God could bless people. And so sacrifice was not giving up something you didn't really want to give up. It was a requirement for the blessing of God. That's what it was, a requirement for the blessing of God. Now, in giving, we find it, given it shall be given unto you. In other words, if you want that scripture to work for you, you got to get money out of your pocket or do something in giving. Now, this is a give what you want. So Paul wrote and said about, well, we're blessed in our giving by, he said, if we sow sparingly or we give a little bit, well, then we get a little bit back. If you give a lot, then you get more back. So he's telling us how it works, but he never gave the idea from that was some kind of sacrifice of things. That is just the system and how it works. This is the system. We don't have to, this is one thing. If I have to sit and go some kind of manipulation to get you to put money in the pot, forget it, I ain't even going to bother. I just can't believe that these ministers use this junk all the time and using this trash to get what they want. If God can't take care of me, if I have to become a beggar, dear Lord, I'm going, don't even bother. I mean, this is ridiculous. There's things that God requires of us. And this is why we understanding these things of what is God or what's God requiring of us. Now, we talk about their sacrifices in the Old Testament. I just want to read you from Exodus about when God talks about their sacrifices were put on the altar, what they did for God. Now, they didn't do for man what man thought, but they did for God. Now, listen to this. In Exodus 29:25, I'm just going to read through these. You can write them down to look at them later. It says, you shall receive from them back from their hands and burn them concerning the offering on the altar as a burnt offering. And this is what God says, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. And it is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, I don't know. Did you ever smell burnt flesh? God said it was a sweet aroma to Him. I want you to understand this. You know, Christians are so narrow. You know, sometimes like, Christianity has been taught on a level that's so narrow, that's so small, that you could just put it side by side to everything that they all very taught, it'd take about that much space in your brain. But you know, if you would ever went into the temple of God and you would have went in where they had a section where and I'm talking about the temple, not in the place where the Gentiles could go, everybody could go to, but into the place of worship. You had to be born into Jews as a male, and you went into the section where they offered the sacrifices. And they had also had a section then that the women went into. So, and understand this, when you went in there, how many of you have ever been around butchering? Just the smell of blood and everything. That's what it was. It was the smell of blood, butchering, burnt flesh going on. All that was going on in there. It wasn't a place that you walked into. This is just so exciting. See, you'd have to bring your flesh under control. My God, the Church of America would have a terrible time. My God, we're just, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Sanitizers on your hands and everything all the time. We're so scared of bacteria. We're so fearful, can't get healed. I mean, that's just, fear dominates and rules. Dear Lord, they went to church to butcher. My God. But they went, burnt offering. What do you think we'd have a burnt offering in here today? Well, it was just, it was just an aroma. But to God, it was an offering to God. That was, in other words, it was about giving God what he wanted. Why did you come today? Did you come to give God what he wanted? Most of the time we come, when it comes to God, it's all about what we want. We know very little about coming to God, about what he wants. We know very little. And I'm not throwing rocks at nobody. Guilty is charged, so get over it, you know. Exodus 29:41 says again, it says, and the other lamb you shall, he said, offer at twilight, and you shall offer with it the grain offering and the drink offering as in the morning for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. You see, these were things that God required. This is what God wanted, and when God got what he wanted, the Jews got what they wanted. This is what we need to get over. Now, we're talking in the areas here of worship. See, the sacrifice was about giving God what he wanted so God could bless them like they wanted. God could fulfill their side of the covenant. Now, listen to this in Ephesians 5:2. Now, this is in our covenant. This is our covenant. Here's in our covenant. It says this, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and gave himself up for us. What? An offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You think that was real good there at the cross, was a good sweet-smelling aroma? But to God it was. It was a required sacrifice. Redemption required that sacrifice. If it didn't, man couldn't be blessed. It wasn't sacrificing something that we didn't want to give. It either had to be given or there's no blessing. It what was required so the blessing of God. So God sent his son into the earth, a required blessing for you and I. That's what the Bible says, that Jesus went to the cross with joy. With joy he went. His idea was what? Because this is going to bring the blessing. This will bring the blessing to humanity. It was what was required by God so God could bless. This is what sacrifice is about from the scheme of the Bible, not by men's ideas. So what you and I do, we need to understand this. You and I need to find out what God requires and do that. That's sacrifice. It is not sacrifice to do what he didn't ask. This is most people. God, if you do this, I'll do that. That's not sacrifice. That's conning. God, I'll do right if you bless me. God, that's not the whole thing. We're to see, and this is what it, you and I want to find out. What does God want? What does he want? Well, we know from the Word, there's so much we've studied from the Word and we've studied the Word, of what God wants or what God desires. And when we find that, then we do that. That's what he wants. We don't have to add something to it. We don't have to manipulate it to get him to like it. We don't have to say, well, you know, if you sacrifice more, you'll get more. He didn't say, you know, don't matter how much Israel sacrificed, as long as Israel gave the sacrifices that were required, God blessed them. You know, when the temple, Solomon opened the temple, they killed tens of thousands of bulls and goats and you opened that temple. That sounds really great. But you know, they wanted to do that. They did it cheerfully. But you know what? That wasn't any, all they had to do was give God to be blessed is to do what God required. They didn't have to do all that extra. Sometimes you might want to do extra. That's fine. But you do with joy, gladness. Yoo-hoo! But don't think, hey, if you've done what's right, the blessing comes no matter what. To me, that's what's wonderful. Just looking for what God requires and then doing what God requires. See, it takes all the pressure off. I don't have to decide, try to figure out myself. I don't have to do nothing. Thank God. Well, who can come up with the best idea to keep God happy? He came up with all the ideas of what makes him happy. Well, God told Israel how they were supposed to come to the temple and how they were supposed to worship. He never asked them their opinion of what he might like. That would be stupid. Then we'd have to guess. And this is the church world today, constantly guessing before God. Trying to do things to keep God happy. Trying to think, no. Just do what's required. Hallelujah. Those are the sacrifices he requires. Those are the things that are called sacrifices to God. Those are the things that bring the blessing. So you want to find out what it is? Just find out what God's saying and what God's doing. Now, I want to read to you. I really like Romans 12. I'm going to read 1 and 2 to you from the Amplified Bible. I think the Amplified's the best at this. I really like it, but we'll go through it. In verse 1, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your body, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is the reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Now, he goes on to say this, do not be conformed to this world or to this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by the new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the things which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Kenneth E. Hagin said this years ago, and I've found it to be true over time. You know, he would say things, and I would wonder over time, well, is that really so? But I remember when I first got born again, he said the number one thing needed in the church today, he said, is a renewed mind. And then years later, I heard him say it a number of times, and I just want to tell you this. Your number one need is a renewed mind. That's your number one need. Your number one need isn't a revival. Your number one need isn't more God. Your number one need, why? Because no matter how much God shows up and you're thinking stupid, you're going to follow stupid. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. When I'm not thinking right, I follow my, you're going to follow the way you think about things. That's what you're going to follow. So we need to renew our mind. What? To God. To God's thinking, to God's plans, to God's purposes. We need a renewed mind. And so, thank God, God, you know, is planned for us. Now, I want you to see, because one of the things it says here in the Amplified Bible, it speaks about, it says, concerning this, or this living sacrifice, it says, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. And I want to, I'm going to read some other translations here of that, of the first verse. Because I want you to get this, is understanding when he's talking about sacrifice, he's talking about worship. That's what it is through the entire scripture. Sacrifice is about worship. It's not about giving till it hurts. It's never used like that in scripture. It's never used like that. Men invented that to get what they want out of people. That's why they invented it for that. Now, listen here. Bible in Basic English says, on 12:1, it says, for this reason I make request to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you will give your bodies as a living offering, holy, pleasing to God, which is the worship it is right for you to give Him. See, we think worship, we have sing songs, and that's one thing you can do for worship. But if you sing songs to God and then live in the flesh, you're not worshiping God. See, our life that we live out here, that we walk in, our lives is about our worship to God. It isn't just about, see, we have this singing songs, that's a worship, that's worship. We're saying, God, I worship you. God, Jesus, I love you. He would love it a lot more if we worshiped Him by giving our bodies as a living sacrifice instead of going on and living in our flesh and doing whatever we want to do. This is our worship to Him. You see, we could worship God all the time, couldn't we? See, most people don't think about it. They think about their worship. We're going to have a worship service. Loads of people come to a worship service and never worship God. Because we want to find out what Jesus said, some things about what worship is. Singing songs don't mean that you're worshiping God. I don't mean you're worshiping God because you're singing some songs. We want to find out what the Bible says. We're talking about this worship of God. We can see it here. They're talking about a worship that comes because of our actions and our body, our giving our body to Christ. And in the Montgomery's New Testament says, I entreat you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. This is your reasonable service of worship. The 20th century New Testament says, I entreat you then, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, for this is your rational worship. Weymouth's translation, I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the compassion of God, to present your faculties to him as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. This with you will be an act of reasonable worship. This is reasonable worship. Now, let's just say, the word reasonable means to be in accordance with reason, not extreme or excessive. Do you know this me teaching on crucifying the flesh is not excessive teaching? This is reasonable teaching I'm doing. God told me to teach this reasonable stuff. This is not reasonable to the church today. This is considered extreme. It's because the church, the fallen church, lives in an extreme of sin and cannot see what is reasonable to God. And the fake that you can't preach a grace that men can sin and get away with it. You can't preach that. That's unreasonable because it doesn't fit in line with the kingdom. It doesn't fit with it. It's unreasonable teaching. It's not reasonable. Word rational, having reason or understanding relating to based on an agreeable to reason. And reason, again, it's not extreme or excessive. Bringing my flesh under is not excessive. This is an excessive Christianity. See, the church today preaches a lawless grace. It preaches a lawless grace. There is no such thing as a lawless grace. Grace is not lawlessness. We'll go more into teaching in along these lines. So worship is about what God requires of us, what God is requiring. So this idea of we're supposed to present our bodies to God, this is something you do. God doesn't. You do it. You present it to him. See, we put on the new man. We take off the old man. We put on the new one. We present our body to God. This is reasonable stuff to do. This is the reasonable thing. This is the sacrifice. This is what God is seeking. See, God's seeking what God wants. What God wants is a people that will honor him. He always did this to Israel. You guys with your mouth say these things, but your heart ain't in it. I can tell what my heart's into by what I let my flesh get away with. Might as well say amen or oh me, one of the two. I mean, just, you know. Well, oh my, that's good preaching anyhow. Ah, hallelujah. Well, you know, we need to deal with things. And see, this is why, you know, I always, when I read Scripture and Scripture says something, I always do this. I turn it on the other side. Now let's speak the opposite of that. What does it say? If you learn to do that, you'd find out loads of things you wouldn't be doing. What's the other side of it? But here we go. I want to go to John, the 4th chapter. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. Jesus was speaking and he told us something about what worship is. What is worship? In talking to Nicodemus, he made this statement in John, the 4th chapter. He said to him, no, this is the woman at the well that he spoke to about. Well, the woman at the well, when he spoke to her, he spoke to Nicodemus later. He said this. In chapter 4, verse 23, he said, but the hour is coming. Now, this was before his death, burial, and resurrection. He said to this woman, the hour is coming. And he said, now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him, if they would like to or feel good about it, and it passes their test, they can worship him in spirit and in truth. No, he said they must. They must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, this is really important. He told them the hour's come. In other words, the true worship. In other words, there is true worship and there's false worship. Going to church don't make you a true worshiper. Going through church and sitting and worshiping, that don't make you a true worshiper. We need to understand. It's like singing songs. I can sing songs from my head. We can sing songs from memory of things. They come to us and we can turn around and sing. But it's about what's in my heart. See, most of the time when I worship God at home all the time. I have songs that come out of me that I sing, and they ain't nobody ever wrote them and put them in a songbook. I mean, maybe I could write them down and do them, but I don't know how to write the. I can't write music, I could write lyrics, but not the other part of it. But I'll get over it, and I sing songs come up out of my spirit, out of my own spirit. You know, that doesn't mean you can't sing a song out of your heart of a song that, you know, something that you heard. You can do that too. But I sing, the majority of songs that I sing, they're not in somebody's book, or they weren't recorded, or I didn't hear it on the radio, or, you know, went to a concert. I had my own concert. This stuff comes up out of me. It comes up out of me. I'll tell you what, I can a drop of a hat just sing a song out to God just out of my spirit. Words will just start coming to me, and I just start them. They just come to music. I just put them in music. I don't know if it sounds good to anybody else, but I'm having fun. Let me alone. Now, you can do it in that way, but it's not that when we're here in church, we're singing. Are we singing from our heart, or are we just doing it in the word because of the music and that? Is that what's really in us? Is that what I'm really doing? If it's not worship. Many people come to church, and they got all these other things on their mind they're thinking about. They got all this other stuff. Today, we try to make a church a place where you come and you have this comfort, and you have to have all the right temperatures, the right seat, the right everything. And people can't worship unless they have all that. Why? Because they can't bring their stupid flesh under control and say, so what if I'm sweating? Or so what if I'm cold? I get to worship God, glory to God. I mean, Paul and Silas sitting down in the jail. That will never happen today. They won't be singing and praising God. There'll be complaint, 47 lawyers in, going to court on this sucker. We're just going to fight this thing to everything we got. We're looking for comfort to worship. You don't need comfort to worship. You need to tell your flesh to shut up. I don't need some kind of atmosphere to worship God. I can worship God in any atmosphere. Everything don't have to be going right to worship. That's the time when you need to. That's the time you need to start worshiping in your flesh and tell your flesh to shut up and worship God. We wouldn't have near the problem in our society today if people ever realized one of their major things they were supposed to do is bring their body under control as worship to God. We're not doing it. I'm not against having, you know, nice stuff, doing things, having a nice seat to sit in, but our comfort has not led us to God. The nicer they make churches, the further people get away from God. The best worship services I've ever been in my life were in places that were hot and everything else and sweating and carrying on, and God come in and those people didn't care at all, and they're sitting on a hard bench, and I'm going to tell you, they're there, they'll worship God, and my God, they think He's wonderful. And they don't have 90% of what any of you got. And they don't seem to care. They got God and they're excited about it. And they're worshiping God. And the presence of God comes because they're in the Spirit. It's not by their flesh. Their flesh is not the number one agenda. It's not their number one agenda. See, we need to, folks, we got to come to this. We can't. I've learned this. When I go out, especially like in the mission fields, one thing that was really helpful for me to teach me in the areas of ministry and ministering to people. Because when you go, you have to get to the place where you can hear and walk with God when you have no conveniences. And I have never been one time on any mission trip in my entire life where it ever went as planned. Never. Never. Everything we planned falls apart. Every meeting we planned on didn't work. And we had, and you know what? Ended up having some of the best moves of God you've ever seen in your life. Because you show up, you got to walk in the Spirit. You got to sit down, shut up, keep your blab mouth shut, and quit complaining about what's going on around you. That's why a lot of people, I don't want them on a mission trip with me. Because I'll leave them there dead. Turn them over to Satan for the destruction of their stupid flesh. so we can have a move of God. I went one time on a mission trip. It took some people along, and I'll tell you what, they'll never go along with me again on a mission trip. Complaining about stuff, complaining concerning the food, complaining this. Shut up, sit down, keep your blabbermouth. We own a pickle, we're going to minister. Ed's body has to shut up. My body sometimes says, you don't have to put up with this. And I'd say, yes, you do. And you'll sit down and shut up. And you're going to listen. And this is what we're doing. This is what's going on here. Why? Because I want to move a God. I have never been disappointed, ever disappointed. The more his problems seem to show up, the more God moved. It's keeping your body under. You can pray night and day all you want, and if you can't keep your body under, you wasted your time. Don't fast. Go ahead and eat. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I'm just, hey, folks, you know, let me just tell you about a mission trip we were on. I was out at Rhema on a mission trip, and we've talked about this before, but I want you to keep your flesh under. We're going down to, the Lord spoke to me back in 1989, well, in fact, he told me over in 88, the end of 88, he told me to go on a mission trip down to Peru. They were taking one down to Peru and with Rhema. So they were getting a group together. And he said to me to take the trip. And I said, yeah. I said, I'll do that. I'll go. But see, you know, there's things that I've learned to do over time. See, I didn't, you know, the money for the trip, they said about what it costs to do it. And first of all, I stopped and I said, Lord, I'll go any place you want to go, but you're going to provide the money. I said, I ain't trying to figure out where this money's coming from. I ain't going, see, I've learned from the time that I was a young Christian. I don't try to sell myself. I'm not selling myself to anybody. I don't do that. My job is to give myself to God. That's what I'm supposed to do. Well, the Lord said the amount of money goes. So I said, Lord, I'll obey you and do whatever you want. But I said, I'm not taking the family's money and the kids doing without. I'm wanting them doing without because we're trying to scrub money here together and doing it. See, people call that a sacrifice. That ain't a sacrifice. I didn't send me on the trip. He did. It's up to him to get the money. It's up to him to bring his thing to pass. See, most people, they start their sacrificing and they wonder why things go so wrong. Well, I didn't go through my sacrificing. I sat down and said what to do. And I said, okay, Lord, I said, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, what you want me to do. And I just said, well, I thank you, Lord God, you're providing the money for it. Now, I knew I needed to do this because, see, I made a stand. I wasn't going to chase around after money. So none of this, I can't worry about money. So I can't get myself worried. Because they set a date, then you had to have a certain amount of money paid on that date. Because they got to buy airline tickets. And then the money for the rest of the trip and that stuff you get later and put in for it. So they have to have that. And so I went and started meditating on the scriptures and made my confession. And I would go meditate on the scriptures, you know, and concerning the money's coming in. And I stayed happy. I didn't do that for God. I did that for me. See, I didn't want to get out in unbelief of him. I believe he's going to bring the money in. But see, I got to stay over and keep my flesh in the place where I'm acting like he's going to do it. I keep a smile on my face. And I'm not running around asking people to pray for me about the money because I'm having a hard time believing. Most of you, that's where the problem comes in. Instead of meditating on the word, keep yourself, you think prayer is going to make it happen. Prayer don't make it happen. Your confession sets it into motion, and what you do is you meditate on the word so you stand and don't change your confession. That's what you do. You don't do that for God, you do that for you. I don't stay on a confession because I have to keep saying it, say it to keep God to do it. God already wants to do it. What I'm saying it for is keep me in faith. That's what I'm doing it. So I started doing that, and I would just praise God, the money's coming. Well, we got down to the week we were supposed to have the money in for the first payment, and there ain't no money. And I could truthfully say this. See, getting myself over in faith and walking and saying these things and saying this stuff over time and making statements about the money, I kept my flesh under control. My flesh was worshiping God. My flesh was worshiping God by not going crazy and worrying about, because that flesh wants to worry. You got to keep it under control. The flesh wants to go. And I say, no. Hallelujah. Praise God. Money's coming to me. Glory to God. And the days went by, and a guy gave a call whom had never called me before there. And he gave me a call and said, I heard when you go to Rhema that sometimes they go on mission trips. I don't know how he found that out. That stuff. He said he heard that. Can you imagine God can get a hold of somebody? Imagine. And he calls me and he says, are you going on a mission trip? I say, yeah. He said, well, I'm going to send you a check. I'll have it in the mail. And it showed up like a day or two before, and it was enough money for it to put on the trip. And I put it on, gave the down payment. Now the next one's got to come. The next one has to come. And it don't come, and it don't come, and don't come. This is one thing you're going to find about faith. If you can't bring your flesh under control, you can't worship God, because I've never hardly ever stand in faith, and it comes in 10 weeks early. It don't come year in advance. It don't happen like that. It never does. It never does. And you're walking down to the end of it. What's it all about? You just keep worshiping God, keeping your body under control, giving your body to God. Making your body a living sacrifice. It wants to scream. You got to take charge. It's uncomfortable. The flesh never likes waiting. That's why patience is so difficult for people. If you have a patience problem, it's because you have a flesh problem. That's just that simple. If you identify it for what it is, you can do something about it. But if you keep making excuses, well, this is just my culture. This is just the way we Irish are. Or we're just this way, or we're just that way. No, it isn't. It's called your stinking, dumb flesh that you won't deal with. I got it, folks. That's what it does. Your flesh wants to do things. Well, anyhow, we're only, down to a few days to go. Phone rings. Another person calls and says, the Lord told me you're doing something. You need money. What are you doing? I said, I'm going on a mission trip. How much do you need? I told him, send a check. Got it there like the day or so beforehand. The check shows up. But it came. Now, this is only the start of the thing. The day of the trip comes, we leave. Well, in fact, what happened was, we're out 2 days before. What we're doing is, I think it was a Monday. But anyhow, it was on a Saturday. They had a record snow in Oklahoma there, in Tulsa area. We had almost 2 feet of snow. I mean, that was a biggie for them. And it was in March. And in March, you may get some freezing rain or something, but that's hardly abnormal. We had snow. Well, the next day we had just 2 feet of snow, and you start thinking, 2 feet of snow, we're supposed to be leaving on this trip. That is crazy. And so I'm out the next day, and the next day it's about 80 degrees, and I'm out shoveling snow in a t-shirt and got sunburned. This is fun. But anyhow, so we turn around and we go on the trip. We get on, we go down to Dallas, and we're catching a flight on Eastern Airlines out of Miami. At that time, Eastern Airlines still existed. It was an airline. Eastern Airlines held all the out of United States, held all the routes down in that went into Peru and those places. Airlines, pay for these routes that they have and things. And so they had all of them out from down there, Eastern Airlines. So we get on a plane, we fly, land in Miami. You're going to land in Miami. We're catching our next flight, We're going out that later afternoon. We're going to be flying out, heading down to Peru, and we found out that ain't happening. The airlines went on strike. Eastern Airlines shut down. There's no any flights, American flights, going down to Peru. There's none going down. So here we are. We paid for these things. So we didn't know what to do, but we knew this. The group we're with, we knew. You can't get worried about things. God, it's just like me. This is me. If God told me to do it and it don't work, then he's dumb and stupid and he don't know what he's talking about. See, most people will think, well, God had this thing happen that we couldn't go for a purpose. No, you said that and believed that in your heart and said it with your stupid mouth and brought it to pass. I've learned that over time. If God told me to go do something, he has to bring it to pass or he's a liar. He's going to have to do it. Well, we were sitting down there. We had the group together. And at that time, the Miami airport's different now, but they had this huge lobby area. It was really big and it was really open. This huge open area. And we just took our suitcases and stuff, stacking around in a circle. We sat on the inside, leaning against them, sitting there, We're sitting down and talking, laughing and stuff. This absolutely, you know, because why? You can't get over into worries and fears. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, no, God's going to have to work this one out. I'm not a pilot, don't own a plane, so we're not, you know, what am I going to do? So we're sitting there, just minding our own business, having a good time, saying things. God's going to work this out. He'll figure out something on us. He's going to have to figure out something to do. A guy walks past, and he's in his late 20s. This guy comes walking past. He stops, and he looks and says, "What are you guys doing here? What is this? You're in a circle here." So we told him what happened. Now here, by coincidence, you know. I mean, I want you to understand this. There are literally thousands of people in that airport that are trying to get flights with Eastern Airlines, and it shuts down, and God finds a guy to pick us out. And this guy walks up, and he tells us then, he says, "I'm a meteor." He said, "I work for a small airline called," he said, "Piedmont." And he said, "One of the major things that I do in this airport," he says, "I'm a negotiator between the airlines." He said, "I'm going to start negotiating for you guys to get a flight to Peru." So he goes, does this thing. He goes out. He comes back to us a few hours later. We're still sitting out there. Well, there's a guy. Somebody's working for us. God sent a guy. You know, we're like, man, this was incredible to us. God sent a guy. Why'd he pick us out? There was all these people in the place. And we got picked out. Well, then we got, and here's another thing. So whatever, this is what happens. The news comes to you and say, "We're always expecting everything to be good news." I'll guarantee you, I learned this. When things go bad, there'll at least be as many bad reports as there are good reports. If you haven't learned that, then you haven't learned very much at all. That's, you haven't done much by faith. And he comes and says, "Right now, the only airlines that we can get into Peru on is the Peruvian airline. And they have a waiting list." And he said, "It's 2,000 people." So it's 2,000. But he said, don't, you know. He said, "We're not done yet. We're all just there." You know, it didn't matter. So this guy stepped in, and Eastern Airlines, they went on strike, and they weren't giving people rooms at hotels and that stuff. And he said, "Well, I'm going to change this." And he ended up getting us a room at night at the Hilton Hotel. He said, "No, you're going to put these people up." And he did, and they came. I don't know if anybody else out of the Easterns even got rooms, but we did. We got rooms. So we got rooms. We got dinner that night. They fed us breakfast the next morning. And this guy shows up at the hotel at the Hilton. He said, "I'm still working on this thing, guys. Just relax. I'm working on this thing." And he takes us and he says, "I'm going to take you down to my parents' house." He said, "I'm going to have a bus pick you guys up in the morning in front of the hotel. You come down, and that bus is going to take you down to my parents' home." And he says, you go down there in the afternoon." He said, "They have everything fixed up for you guys. Everything's good. That's going to be taken care of." Well, his parents must be some mega rich people. We go down there. We're on a wing in a house, this huge room. And this room is bigger than most people's houses. And it's gorgeous. It's beautiful. There's all these bouquets of flowers and stuff that are sitting on tables in this place. And there's all these sofas and stuff and all this stuff where people can just lounge. You know, it just reminds you of just a big lounge of some sort of things. Except it's definitely up on the upgrade. And we go in there, and there are tables filled with food, exotic stuff. His parents were born-again, Spirit-filled Christians, and he was born-again, Spirit-filled. And they took us down there, and they said, "You guys just sit here, relax. We're getting all this stuff, and you guys have the afternoon, do what you want. You have the pool, and you have all this stuff." We're suffering for Jesus. Now, but you understand this. What if we would have acted different? I'm going to guarantee you, our flesh could have shut that whole thing down. No matter what we say, we were praying and believing. So we went down there, and I'll tell you what, that place did make our flesh happy. Our flesh was glad that it had listened to God to enjoy that. Later in the afternoon, he walks into us. He said, "I made a negotiation with the Peruvian airline." He said, "You guys are moved up to the top of the list. The flight that will be going out tonight, you'll be on it." Worship God with your body, people. See, that's how people get themselves worn out. You'll never get worn out worshiping God with your body. You'll never get worn out. Nobody ever had a stroke worshiping God with their body. Nobody ever got into worries and fears and takes medication because they worship God with their body. See, that's why we worship God with our body. You keep your body under as a worship to God. So why? That's what God wants, that sacrifice, so he can bless you. That's what he requires. He requires that. And we went that night, got on that flight, flew down to Peru. See, everything appeared that none of it could work. But see, you can't get over into the worries and the fears of things. It's just like going down to Mexico. God told me to get down to Mexico on a mission trip. And the day before, all of a sudden, tore a ligament in my foot. Minding my own business, you know. Saying, you know. See, you get over in the flesh of things. See, with your flesh dominant. Now, my flesh is hurting. Now, what my flesh wants to do is this. Well, you can't go on that trip. I never acted in one moment or allowed my flesh to get over like it wasn't going to go on a trip to Mexico. God told me to go down there. See, what's this mobile? If something happens that makes the flesh uncomfortable, most Christians will stop and go with what's making the flesh uncomfortable, and they'll go with it. And they'll say, we're trusting God. No, you're not. You can't pray for good and let your flesh act like it ain't going to work, because you will eventually be praying out what your flesh says. And Wanda had asked me then, because, you know, the Lord had told me. He told me to go in the hospital and have it checked. When I found out they went to the hospital, I thought, this is sort of stupid. I said, they couldn't do nothing about it anyhow. All they did was gave me a boot and a thing that you put ice in on the side, these ice pack things on the side to keep from swelling down. And said, you know, you wear that. I said, I'm going down. He said, and keep your foot elevated. I said, I'm going to on a mission trip. And I said, I never changed it. I said, I'm going on a mission trip tomorrow. I'm leaving to go down to Mexico on a mission trip. Oh, you can go, but you got to keep your foot propped up all the time. I said, yeah, like that's going to work. See, I didn't plan on none of that. I didn't do that. So they sent me home. And my flesh is saying everything that, how are you going to go on this trip? I mean, and this thing is painful. I mean, this thing, no, but this is painful. And it's a hurting. And you put pressure on it, and it hurts. And, but I'm going on the trip. And this is bringing your flesh under control. As Wanda said to me, I was sitting on the sofa and I had it propped up and I was sitting there and I hadn't packed yet to go on the trip. I never usually go to write this time to go, then I get out what I want and it don't take me 2 weeks to pack. I can get what I want, throw it together, you know. My daughter Alyssa, she does it in months in advance, you know, trying to figure out what to do, and I throw it in her, here we go, I'm on my way. If anybody forgot something, we'll just buy it there. Glory to God. God will make things work. Who cares? We're having fun. We're going on a trip. But anyhow, so that thing was hurting me. And God had me. And I didn't realize. See, it's following the purpose of God. You need to keep your flesh under. You got to follow. So I go. I listen to what God said. Because I had no intention of going to the hospital. I had no intention to. I just don't believe God. He said, no, go. And I went. And I remember come back and say, well, Lord, I obeyed you. But they weren't able to help. And so I had that boot thing, and I had that. And what it turned out to be is after I got down there into Mexico, God told me to take that boot along with you. Well, I wasn't going to take it along with me and just stick that thing in your suitcase because I wasn't worried. I had wrapped an ace bandage around my foot and had it all and stuck it in a shoe and was almost in tears because I'm going to tell you, talk about hurt, stuffing that thing in a shoe. Oh, my God. And then I got to the airport, and they made me take the shoe off to go through security. And on the other side, this is what I'm thinking. I got to put this shoe back on the other side. Man, I don't want. You got to keep your flesh under. And I'm doing things like thanking God, hallelujah. Well, praise God, this is going to work out. This is going to work. I'm going to obey God. See, you got to keep your flesh under. See, this is why when you have to have the comforts of everything to stay in worship and keep your body, you ain't ever keeping your body under. That'll never happen. And anyhow, so I got to the other side, and it was just a wonderful thing. I got to the other side, and I'm just thinking, so I'm sitting there, because then you got your shoes, you got your stuff that ran through security, and you got it sitting down. I'm thinking, putting this shoe on, and this foot is throbbing. It is just, oh, man. You know, it's one of those, you just feel the blood pumping. It's going boom, boom, boom. And the devil's talking to you about it. Oh, my God. And I'm just thinking about this. And all of a sudden inside of me, it came up, take that ace bandage off. And this is the first thing I thought. Now, I'm talking from knowledge. This is the knowledge that you have. If I take that sucker off, it's going to swell. It's going to go. Poof. I won't, without the ace band, never get it in a shoe. And that's the first thought of me. And it came to me again. And I just, oh, I don't know, I'm sitting there. He said, take the ace bandage off. So I said, praise God for taking the ace bandage off. I took the ace bandage off, and because the foot was just throbbing away. And I took the ace bandage off. Instantaneously, I was healed. Instantaneously. Every bit of pain went, every swelling just went right down, everything. Put my shoe on, went and got on my flight, went down to Mexico, never had a problem at all the whole time I was down there. Foot was completely fine. But see, you got to present your body. Faith ain't just words said. Smith Wigglesworth said this, faith is an act. And you better train your body how to act. You got to train your body how to act. Why? You present it as a living sacrifice. He didn't say it's a dead sacrifice. Well, if I do the will of God, it might kill me. No, if I do the will of God with my body, it might just bless me. So you get into fear. This is why people concerning, it's hard for people to walk in divine health. It's hard for people to get divine healing because their body dominates them and they're afraid if they don't do something natural, they might die. It's the fear of death. And you need to understand where that's coming from. It's coming from your flesh. Your flesh is a fear of death. When I was a young Christian, I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. And again, you found out it was true. He said this. He said, your body, he said, I don't care how spiritual you are. He said, the body will still recoil against death. Even when you come, you're of old age, going to die. Your body will recoil against death. That's natural because your body's dead in sin. It'll recoil against death. So you need to understand many times, and people follow that. The fears that they accept because they're afraid that if they stand on the word of God, it may not work, and if it don't, that's why there's a difference between going to the doctor and getting a quick recovery and standing for healing. I've stood through things for healing, and I tell you, people just normally would not do. People wouldn't do, and I've seen miracles come to pass by doing those things. You say, no, I'm just going to trust the Lord. You know, that's what happened to me when I had the heart attack. I just decided. When the devil just talked to me, I was going to die. And I said to him, I said, you ain't got nothing to do this. This is between me and my Father. You have no say in this. And my flesh was saying, listen to him. Listen to what he's saying. But you're either going to worship God with your body or something. You're going to do something. You're going to have to stand in some place of faith. But you can't let that fear be your decision maker, because that fear in your flesh, afraid. See, I see people do that all the time with their children, and they teach their children fear and how to yield to that fear in their flesh. Oh, something happens and they go, now you got to, oh, no, my child's going to die. I decided a long time ago, devil ain't stealing my kids. Devil ain't stealing my kids. He don't have the choice. I don't give him a say. My flesh don't determine who lives or dies. I don't give it the determination. It ain't allowed to do it. I won't let it have it. People are saying, you know, things, and, you know, I see it been, you know, even like Wanda was having her open heart surgery, and you get somebody dumb say something like, you know, well, about it, concerned about it. I'll tell you, I had no worry about the whole thing. Devil ain't killing my wife. He ain't taking her. We ain't worrying about that one. I ain't going to let my body carry me over to worry, because if you do, you just threw faith out the window. It ain't happening. You're just going to get what the world gets out of it. A certain percentage make it, and a certain percentage don't. Is that what you want? So you have to decide. You present your body as a living sacrifice. You tell your body what it's going to do in this thing. You decide. We're going to talk about the renewing of the mind, because without the renewing of the mind, the body will dominate. One mind's going to rule. The Bible has the mind of the flesh or the mind of the spirit. One of them's going to rule. Which one have you trained? Which one have you given the most, you know, supremacy to? Which the one do you yield to first? So you got to learn to do this. This is why I said, you know, Mike read this morning and read a statement I made. You can't let the flesh go for a week and then turn around and quickly change over and go over to the Spirit to place to walk. You can't do those things. You have to learn to give the Spirit the supremacy right away. You have to learn to do that. You have to learn to get your mind over when something comes along and make a decision. See, I made decisions a long time ago that the devil wasn't taking my life. He didn't have no say in this thing. I wasn't going to allow him to have a say in it. So I don't entrain myself in that. So if something comes up and happens, I don't go to fear. But whichever you've trained, whichever has been allowed, and you need to learn to do that. I don't let my body take me over there. I don't allow my body to be a reinforcement because your body will want to panic about things. Your body will it's amazing how what it does. If the devil don't give you a thought, your flesh will. A lot of people, the devil don't even have to talk to him. Their flesh is so trained, it does a good enough job for him. You don't even have to show up because their flesh has been trained to just, you know, then they yield to it every time. And it just does what it wants. So you don't want to go there. You don't want to live in that place. You want to go to that place where your spirit dominates and your spirit rules. You want to live in that place. You don't want to go to someplace else. You want to go to that place where you dominate, the inner man's dominating. We talk about the truth of the word. John 17:17, Jesus prayed this and said this, sanctify them by your truth. He said, your word is the truth. See, we have different, you know, you can have different truths. And there are different truths, aren't there? But the word of God's the truth. We're sanctification. In other words, how do you get sanctified? We're talking about sanctification. That's about bringing your flesh under and stuff. You get sanctified by truth. You can't get sanctified any other way. You got to give the truth supremacy over your flesh. That's what you have. That's worship to God. That's how you worship God. Sanctification is being set apart to a sacred purpose or to a religious use. It means to consecrate. In other words, this consecration of your body, you set it apart. You're going to have to do it by truth. The power of the Word of God, this incorruptible seed, can do it. It can't be done any other way. James said that no man can tame the tongue. And what he was talking about, natural man can't tame the tongue. The flesh is an ugly thing. But the Word of God can. You get the Word of God in you, and the Word of God has the ability to tame anything. It can bring your dumb flesh under control. The Word of God has the power to do that. And if you will get that Word and get it into your thinking and into your mind, it will start changing things. Colossians 2:11 says, in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. See, your inner man's been born again. You need to let that guy on the inside start to take supremacy. You need to get the Word of God in him and meditate till that thinking on the inside of you becomes the predominant thinking. It's like when the Lord said to me in February 1980, when I got born again, about a month after I was born again, he said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, you'll never amount to anything. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God if you cannot get in contact with your own human spirit. Because your own human spirit, if it is not fed the Word of God, it will fight against what God is saying. The Holy Spirit will try to bring revelation and you'll cut it off. See, most people, the flesh dominates. And what happens is their flesh and the thinking of their flesh gets into their hearts. See, there's a contrast. It's just like when I had the heart attack and I was down on my hands and knees. There was a battle going on my inner man and my flesh. And my flesh is yelling at me. My flesh is telling me its need. And my inner man is telling me its need. The life is in the inner man. It's not in the flesh. When you yield to the flesh, you're yielding to the death. The inner man's life. That's where the Holy Ghost is living. That's the place of life. You always want to follow the place of life, yet if the flesh dominates, you'll follow the place of death. You won't follow the place of life. The flesh does itself. This is what we have. We're living in a society today. Everybody wants to live forever living in sin. Well, good luck on that one. They didn't build enough drugs to keep you alive. living in sin. The wages of sin is death, folks. Last time I read, anyhow. See, this is the Holy Spirit. And one thing, the Holy Spirit, John 16:3 says, however, when he, the Spirit of the truth, has come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak of his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So see, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Word of God, he's inside of you. Jesus is the Word of God. He's inside of you. He's in there, inside of you, the Holy Spirit. And he's in there to guide you into the truth. This is why you can't let the flesh dominate, because the flesh gets so loud you can't hear what's on the inside. Nobody dominated. I never was around people dominated by the flesh in an area and were dominated by the flesh and would tell you what God was saying. They won't tell you what God's saying. They're so full of the flesh, of things in the flesh. Flesh is noisy. And you got to get it to the point where it's not. And understand this, whether it's your prayer life or whatever you're not, the more you're dominated by the flesh, the longer that it will take you when you decide to want to be spiritual till you can get a hold of spiritual things. It'll just take you longer and longer. You know, I feel when I first started, you know, used to spend time with God in prayer, it'd take me a long time to pray, just get myself quiet, to get down to where my flesh, because the whole time when I'd start off praying, I you don't need anything to eat, you just finished a meal, but you start praying and all of a sudden you're hungry. Your flesh needs it. Why? It's just your flesh don't like doing that stuff. Your flesh is not excited about praying. Your flesh is not excited about doing spiritual stuff. It's not excited about it. It doesn't like anything that it doesn't know what's going on and can't control. Do you ever notice that? So that's why Jerry Seville was smart. He stood on that bathtub and said, flesh, you want to kill yourself? You either shut up, get in line, and stay awake, Are you going to get busted? And you know what? The flesh understands this kind of things. The flesh gets that. The flesh can understand those kinds of things. Listen, here's what it says in Philippians. I want you to hear this. Philippians in the 3rd chapter, I'm going to read 2 and 3 from you. It says this, beware of the dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we're the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now, he was made the statement about the dogs, the evil workers, the mutilation. What he's talking about there is the Jews. The Jews were running around telling them, yeah, you know, you can accept Jesus, but you have to be circumcised to be saved. He told them, beware of those guys. People that go around, the flesh preachers that preach, right, it's okay, yeah, you know, the flesh and that stuff. Let's keep the flesh. Let's do something. Let's have a nice flesh religion. That's what most of Christianity today is. It's a flesh religion. It don't bring the flesh under control. The flesh dominates. The flesh rules. Even in the people who say, you know, well, your people are too worldly. Why? They think they're getting to heaven because of the costume they wear. They wear a certain way, a type of clothing, do a certain thing, and then you're going to heaven because, well, you're a better person than somebody because of that. Don't make you a better person on the way you dress. I mean, you could be full of evil inside. Jesus told the Pharisees, you guys on the outside, you look great, but inside you're full of death. In other words, their outside was, they're putting on a show on the outside. The flesh is ruling and reigning. The flesh is dominating. The flesh is ruling. It's not something on the inside good getting on the outside. See, we can hide ourselves under a lot of stuff. call it Christianity. Call it whatever. Hallelujah. I want to read you some scriptures here. These are good ones here too. I'm going to read through these. Just dealing with our flesh. In Romans, the 6th chapter, it's about presenting our body to God. In Romans, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to start verse 13, and I'm going to read through 19. It says, and do not present your members, as speaking your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, I want to tell you, when we talk about sin and your body to sin, see, if you let worry and stuff operate through your body, and then it's like a lot of Christians, today in Christianity, we call, you know, somebody go out here and, you know, commit adultery, and boy, that's a terrible sin. One of the worst sins you ever commit is worry. Worry will cause you more problems than adultery will. But see, you're allowed to worry in the church today, you know. See, an adulterer we'd want to throw out, but boy, I'll tell you what, we pack the churches with worriers. Call them good Christians. Like I said one time before, I was told that something was wrong with me. I was told in the church I was in there was something wrong with me because I wouldn't worry. I was told that. There was something wrong with me and I didn't worry. See, they had a worry church. and I didn't fit. So there must be something wrong with me. Because if you're a real loving Christian, you worry. And you have a nice worry prayer life, and you spend hours praying and worry. And you call it faith in following God. Woo! That was good preaching, wasn't it? He said, what's this? What? For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. See, grace, it sounds like grace is something you have so you can sin and get away with it. No, it don't. They don't use these scriptures when they teach that stuff. You can't use these. They don't fit. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? He said, certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though we were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. I think he's talking to the right crowd. He got us? I think he got us pegged. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, what? For holiness. Righteousness will always lead to holiness. Righteousness is doing what's right. You can't be holy and not do what's right. It'll never lead to holiness. You got to do right to lead to holiness. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Gee, I thought we should just do it in our spirit there. He said, you glorify God in your body. That living sacrifice. Galatians 5:16-18 says, I say then, walk in the spirit and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So you got a war going on. Now they capitalize the word spirit here, but actually it shouldn't be. It's talking about your inner man, your own spirit. It's not talking. In the scriptures, the word spirit is in the Greek. All the Greek letters were capitalized in the whole writing. There was no lowercase words. There was. The writers decided whether they would call Satan was talking to the Holy Spirit or not. This can't be talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not in a battle with your flesh. Your spirit is. There's a battle going on, and you need to recognize that fact. That your own human spirit's in a battle. So we walk in the spirit, or walk in the nature of the inner man, walking in there. He said, and you what? You won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And what did we find out the lusts of the flesh were? Those were the forbidden things you shouldn't be doing. Your flesh wants to do them. Your inner man says no. He says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you, what? Do not do the things you wish. But, listen, now he says, if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. So let's throw that on the other side. I said, remember about turning these things over? If you're not led by the Spirit, you're under the law. You're going to be judged by your works. You're going to be judged on the basis of works. The works of the flesh. Ooh, 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 I don't want that one. The place of freedom is walking out of the inner man. The place of freedom is having this inner man follow the things of the out. This inner man dominate the things concerning the outer man. Keeping our flesh over in the area of worshiping toward God as worship. See, we can live an entire life of worship toward God. It was like Mike said this morning, if we get out of line, Jerry Seals, he had three chances of sin. He didn't do two of them. One of them, but you got 1 John 1:9, you go over and what you follow in line with what the Word of God says to do. You don't wait 10 weeks to go then turn around and repent. You get right in line with the Word. You begin to operate, go back over, walk in what's on the inside to do. You got to learn to do that. You can't, it isn't a place, I remember the difficulties that I had when I first started off as a Christian. I mean, it was, man, just sometimes the littlest things just seemed to be a big battle for me. I just, you know, you're dealing with these different things. And and dealing with your flesh, and you're trying what you want to do, you have a partial renewing of mind, and you're trying to get the Word of God into you, but you're not at the place when dominate, you know, and the flesh would get a little hold on here or there, and after a while, you know, you're in this battle all the time as you're fighting these things concerning the flesh. Well, it takes work over time. I don't know how to tell people to do it any other way. You can't. None of this happens to you just because you got saved one time. It's a lot of work. And if you ain't willing to spend the time at working, and it takes work. I don't know. My flesh lived for 30 years getting to do what it wanted. Now, you ain't going to have your flesh living for years doing what you wanted. It wanted to do, and it's just going to roll over for you. You're going to have to smack it down. You're going to have to get over it, and it's going to take work because when it's been trained to do what it wanted to do. That's with my flesh. My flesh was trained to do what it wanted to do. My flesh carried the day. You know, it did whatever. Somebody did something, you either punched their lights out or run over them with the car or do something. You know, you're going to do what you want to do. You just didn't take nothing. You just went and did whatever pleasure gave you pleasure, whatever you enjoyed. Didn't matter what the wife's feelings was. It was what I wanted, man. I'm trying to stay happy. You know, I want to be happy. You know, she'll have to take care of herself and be happy. And I'm busy. My flesh don't want to, and yet that's the life you live. Now you come along and you got saved and you got a conscience. And if you keep defying it, after a while you won't hear it. And after a while your flesh will dominate you, and after a while you're calling it God. Because it is your God. It's what you worship. Woo! That was good, dude. Wasn't it? I'll tell you what, that's exciting. That's wonderful to hear. See, you don't want to do that. This is why it's getting in the Word of God and staying over there and renewing your mind with the Word of God. And we'll teach next week. We'll talk about that, renewing your mind with the Word of God, because that's the hugely important part, is renewing your mind to the Word of God. Getting yourself over where you get dominated in your thinking, that your flesh will stay under control. There's no other way to do it. There's no other way. There's not another path that can take. You know, it's like a lot of people, their bodies are out of control, and they just think, you know, somebody cast the devil out of me. You don't get a renewed mind. Casting devils out, doing stuff don't amount to a hill of beans. It doesn't amount to nothing. If somebody casts the devil out of you and you don't renew your mind, you're going to be in worse off. There'll be more devils showed up in a little bit. Jesus said so. He said Satan comes back, finds the house clean and garnished, and he comes, moves in with seven worse spirits. You've got to be able to keep him out. You've got to keep that devil out. And if you don't renew that, I found out this. I learned to bring my flesh under control by renewing my mind. Boy, the devil didn't get holds that he used to have, that he could do things. I mean, you ask Wanda, I mean, when I was a sinner, man, my flesh, I mean, I'd get angry at a drop of a hat. I mean, I'd go into rages at a drop of a hat. Didn't mean something happened, you know. I was definitely out of control. Things were going wrong. It's one of the things that's, I can live today and things go wrong. And sometimes that just astounds me as I stop and I think, my God, years back, my God, it would have been like setting off a rocket to the moon. I mean, this boy would have been, it would like firing up an engine. And I said, I think today, what God's done, what the Word of God will do in your life. We're in the middle of trouble. You're not worried or afraid or anything. Well, Wanda made mention yesterday, I was doing some things and was trying to get some stuff done. I was teaching, spend time with the God, but I had some other things I had to do too. And I was doing them. I started doing them and it went wrong. And I just, you know, hey, get done. We'll just do it, you know, and that stuff. She said, well, it's good. At least you don't get mad anymore. And I said, yeah, that was a good idea. I don't get mad anymore. That's good. Because, you know, I'd have made it worse before. That's what you do. You get mad and make the situation worse and do something dumb that causes you more problems. And now you're working more time trying to fix the stupid problem you did because you wouldn't control your flesh. And then your wife don't have to remind you the idiot you were. Have you ever been there? We've all been there, haven't we, folks? But I'm glad. I'm glad the Word of God works. Let's stand to our feet. It's the power of the Word of God. You need to get it in you. The Word is something that gets into you that you can actually live it. It has the ability to change your life, changing your thought, Like Randall Greer says a lot here lately, he goes, it doesn't matter what you believe. It's what you know and what you believe. It don't matter. It's what you do with what you know and believe is what makes the difference. What you can get your flesh in line to do. Do you ever notice that doing things in this world without the cooperation of the flesh, you can't do it? Do you ever notice that? If the flesh don't go along with and it dominates, no matter how you want to, you can't do. You got to come over to the place. And that's the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God planted in the human spirit, dawning upon the mind of man, is a supernatural change. And we're going to talk about that. There is, because we read, there's a transformation that takes place. It doesn't happen naturally. It's what the Word of God can produce, a supernatural transformation. Just think of it. Your belief in the Word of God, accepting it as true, got you born again. The Word of God had the power to take a spiritually dead being and make it into a living being united with God. Pretty powerful stuff. Just think of it. Believing that Word and acting on it. That's all you had to do. Believe that Word and act on it. And it did that to you, and you became a child of God. But see, today, if the gospel isn't, the new birth isn't preached today. Today it's, you just get your sins forgiven and still live like hell. And they call that Christianity. What changed me was the new birth. We have to get back to the new birth today. We don't have that. We have, you just ask Jesus to forgive your sin. It would be good to get born again, wouldn't it? Because now all you got's a religious person who thinks they're all right, which now you probably won't be able to reach, and the devil will own them, and they'll end up in hell. Because you told them they were okay because they just believed in forgiveness of sin. Jesus said, you must be born again. He didn't say, if you'd like to, it might work, you know, just whatever makes you feel good. He said, you must. Because the new birth will change you and make you into something that you were not. And you need that. And you need to start making a confessions about yourself of what you're, if any man be in Christ, it's a new creation. I'm a new creation. I don't ever hear anybody ever say around me, well, we're just like everybody else. If I smack you, you'll know more why. You're not. You're born again. You're a child of God. You're not like everybody else. I'm not like everybody else. I'm a child of God. This ain't my home here. My home's in heaven. This place ain't number one on my list. The earth is number one on most Christians' list because they're carnal Christians. I'm getting ready to leave. Most Christians are planning to stay, and they're building bigger barns and houses to prove it. They're planning on going nowhere. They're staying as long as they can. They're going to hang on to this thing down here. My God, they might be get buried in a car. Who knows? Was, you know, people. Yesterday, a guy did that. Got buried in his car. Poor man. It's funny to think about, but the poor man's in hell. He didn't even get to take his car there. You don't want your stuff in heaven. It's garbage. It's temporal. You don't want the gold of this earth in heaven. It's temporal. It's tainted. I want that gold of heaven, which is called, it's clear. Gold that's clear like glass. We don't know anything about that. See, we think about gold in heaven, golden street, and people think of this nice little shiny stuff. Bible never says that. The Bible always says that gold is clear as glass. But Christians don't read the Bible. They got their nice little Christianity they got here with all their stuff, and they're thinking about, you know, thinking about their nice little earthly temporal stuff. Oh God, I want heaven to be more glorious than anything I see here. I want heaven to be more wonderful, don't you? You can have my stuff. Like, oh dear God, hallelujah. Anything you think's beautiful here, there's only one beauty that God wants out of here and his people. That's all he wants. He looks down at your flesh and say, that ain't coming here. That stinky thing ain't coming here. You've been pampering all that time, that stinking thing. That don't come here. If that thing don't get changed, it ain't coming here. You're buried in a box in the ground somewhere. Think you got something. We got to change the way we think. We got to start thinking eternal. We got to start thinking as glorious as God's made us. Hallelujah. As glorious as God's made us. Father, I'm so thankful. I am so thankful, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, surely we need to be changed. Hallelujah. Lord God, that change can't come to change comes to the way we think and the way we understand and comprehend, Lord God. And Lord God, Lord, we're not going to let this body get away with things it got away with. You've brought us to this time and this place. And you didn't bring us here because, Lord God, you didn't bring us here to fail. You brought us here to succeed and to go over. And Lord God, your word is greater than any of our abilities or our ideas or whatever. And your word will work and perform in us what it says. And Lord God, you will be glorified in our bodies. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're gladly bring this thing as a living sacrifice, Lord God, to you. And Lord God, you're going to be able to live out your plans and purposes through us in this earth. We're going to walk in it. We're going to, Lord God, go to the place and live in the place where your glory will be revealed through us. And we will not hamper your plans and your purposes, Lord God. We're not going to be hampered. Not because of our abilities, but Lord God, because we're yielded to yours. Lord, I believe what your scripture says that you're going to do in these last days. How you're going to manifest yourself. And I know you manifest yourself through people. So you got a plan to manifest yourself through us. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're the ones that you called to lay hands on people. We're the ones who cast out demons. We're the ones, Lord God, that carry out the ministry. So Lord God, your plan is to use us. And I thank you, Lord God. Lord, the word talks about being vessels of honor, and that's us. We're going to be vessels of honor, Lord God. We're not going to be vessels of dishonor. Vessels, Lord God. Lord, we're not going to preach a gospel of sin, but a gospel of salvation and walking in the glory of God. Hallelujah. Bodies submitted to God. Where, Lord God, we walk and live every day. Hallelujah. Our bodies a worship to our God. Hallelujah. Lord God, where sin is brought under, the flesh is brought under. In the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord God, we're not trying to get away with anything. Lord God, we desire your blessing. And Lord God, all we're doing today is we're offering to you what belongs to you, our bodies. You paid for it. My body belongs to you. It's not my own. It's not my own anymore. Lord God, I've had too much ownership of it. I've had too much. And I've not yielded it to you, Lord God, as I should have. And Lord God, I want to thank you. We yield our bodies today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, they're yours. You have every right to dictate, concern our bodies. And you're not doing it, Lord God, to punish. You're doing it to bless. Because you desire. It's a sacrifice that you ask for. And Lord God, we gladly come before you and give it today. We come before the throne of grace today, boldly, Lord God, to come to you, Lord God, and say, here's our bodies, Lord God. Teach us, instruct us, guide us, and lead us. Lord God, teach us how to bring this thing under submission so you're constantly glorified, constantly magnified, hallelujah, through our worship to you, through acting out according to your will with our bodies. Lord God, that's what we desire. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we just want to be what you said through the prophets. Oh, you honor me with your mouth, but our hearts are far from you. We don't want to be listed in that category. We don't want to be listed in that place, Lord God. Lord God, our hearts are towards you. Our minds are towards you and our bodies in submission in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, as we go out of here today. We're not going out as some ragtag people. We're the church of Jesus Christ. We're the victorious church. Hallelujah. We're the group, Lord God, raised up by God to be without spot or wrinkle, a people who follow you. Lord God, when we do right, we don't take credit that we're just so smart and strong. We do it because of your glory that works in us. We're submitted to your word, and your word is performing in us what the word says, and our body is in submission because inside, hallelujah, greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world, Lord God. And I thank you, the one that's in us is taking the supremacy because we give it. We give it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord God, we're not going to live in failure. We're not going to live in wimping and whining down here. But Lord God, we're rising up in glory and in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, the hand of God on His people. Hallelujah. Walking in the glory of God, demonstrating to people the wonders and the glories. Oh, Lord God, that people, as You said, told me years past, that they will come from the north, the south, and the east, and the west, and they will come to the light of the glory of God, and men will be changed, hallelujah, by the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're a lamp on the hill. We're the light on the mountain and shining. And we will not let our flesh put our light, this light out. We'll not allow our flesh to dominate us. Hallelujah. But we will take the flesh, and the flesh will submit, so the light shines with great darkness, light in this dark age, in the name of Jesus. And the light will shine out through the darkness, and men will see that light and run to it in Jesus' name. 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 And this is what the Spirit's saying. For I've set forth in this day and this time, and I've set forth of My Spirit, says the Lord. Yes, yes. And you've heard in past by the prophets and from the Word concerning the glory of the last days. And I say to you, it's upon you now in the name of Jesus. These days are upon you, for you've heard and you have entered into it. And you've come to this place and you've come to this time in the period that I have set in My destiny, says the Lord, for you to step into this place. And these will be the days of the healings of God will come forth, and the miracles and the demonstrations of God will actually shatter the minds of men and their thinking and thoughts of how they think things take place. Medical science will not even think the same. That many will stop and say, how could this be? How can these things happen? How does it go? And I say, the Lord, My demonstrations will go out in this day and this time, and My bell will ring out and draw in people, and they will come in by the droves. And healing will be in the air. It will come, and people will be healed, and signs and wonders will go forth in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. What you have seen before shall be little to the days of coming ahead. For these days are Mine, saith the Lord, and I've called them. And men have tried to hold them back. Men have yielded to wrong spirits and tried to hold them back. But I say this to you today, says the Spirit, for those who will stand in My way and even in My church, I will run them down in these days. I will not let them stand in the way of My glory. These days are shut to them if they will not repent and turn. For there are many will be lost if these days do not come to fulfillment. And I will not allow them not to come to fulfillment, for they shall come, and I shall stand up. Oh yes, yes. And ones who've stood in places, oh yes, and stood in My glory in the past, if they don't rise up again and take their place again, yes, and I will replace them. I will bring forth My glory, yes. I will choose the ones that I will use, and I will set them forth. And men may scoff and say, but they will not scoff when they see My glory upon them, for their mouths will be shut. For My glory will show forth mightily in Jesus' name. These are the times and the days, says the Lord. I have set them forth. I have declared them, and man shall not hold it back. For I have a people who are going to pick up the banner in this day. I have a people who will stand up, and they will take their place. And My people shall walk in glory and fulfill My plans and My purposes in this hour. For they are out among all the nations of the earth. I have a people, every place, and any place you can walk to on the earth. There is someone set aside by Me, says the Lord, that I have called. And the light will shine in these last days, and glory shall be revealed, that all will hear and know that there's a glorious God who heaven who is reaching out to man. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Praise His name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy and kindness. Lord God, thank You. Thank You, Lord God, for giving us a place in this time. I'm so appreciative. Lord God, Lord, we know this. We didn't earn the place. All we did was obeyed what You said. Just like Elijah, Lord God, going up on Mount Carmel, He's told the people, He said, Lord, just let them know that I'm Your servant. I'm just doing what You told me to do. But You're the one that's turning their hearts back to You again. You're the one. Lord God, You're the one that's going to turn men's hearts back to You again. You're the one doing it. Lord God, we're just in cooperation with what You showed us. That's all. But You're the one that's bringing them back. Oh, Lord God, and there's many that need to be brought back. There's many that need to be brought back into the fold, Lord God, who once walked. But Lord God will come back into the fold. Hallelujah. You're turning the hearts of your people back to you again. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We just appreciate, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, what you're doing in our nation. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, thank you, Lord God. You're turning things around. There's people, Lord God, have stood to do evil, and Lord God, they're being brought to shame now. And I want to thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I rejoice in it. I rejoice in it, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That evil is being shown for the evil it is. Wickedness is shown for the wickedness it is. And Lord God, I want to thank you because, Lord God, the evil's not going to dominate the church. The evil people aren't going to rule over the church. Hallelujah. Lord God, you have a people full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord God, when we cry out to you, you respond to us quickly. You respond to us quickly. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, we're not going to faint. We're not going to faint. Oh, Lord God, Jesus said to pray and so you don't faint. And Lord God, we ain't going to faint. Lord God, we're standing strong. Hallelujah. You're the one that's able to make a stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God.